If you're a visitor, we welcome you. Amen. Look around. If you're a visitor, it's your first time here. We really do welcome you. Stick around. We'll love you. Let's stand. We stand for the reading of God's word. Ephesians 4. We are going through the book of Ephesians. And we're in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 is where we're at right now. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, that's so hard for me to say, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be ye that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, and the truth is in Jesus. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to their deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You can be seated. This world walks according to vanity. And vanity is devoid of truth, inappropriate, perverseness, depravity. We live in a very perverse world. Can you say amen? It doesn't take long to look around and find it. It's on every corner. It's on every advertisement. It's at the workplace. It's everywhere you look. As a matter of fact, you have to make a covenant with your eyes to keep them straight on Jesus, because there's so many things trying to distract. He said they're ignorance. And I looked up the word ignorance there, and I know that we always say that means that they just didn't know. But when you go a little deeper in that word, it means moral blindness. And it seems to me that the world we live in is becoming less and less moral. The Bible says that in the last day, the love of many would wax cold, and I'm not here to preach that kind of sermon, that it's gloom and doom, because I really believe that God will always have a people. I want to do a comparison a little bit, though, with the wicked and the righteous tonight, and I want to read you some scriptures, because even though the world walks that way, he said, don't walk like other Gentiles walk. In your walk, he said, in the end, it should lead to righteousness and true holiness. Holiness is a word that has went by the wayside in the church. Some people don't even think you have to be holy to go to heaven. They just think you got to be saved. And what they don't understand is when you get saved, you're made holy. Because God is holy. And he told us to be like him, right? So he said, in all manner of conversation. Let me read this. 1 Peter 1:14 says, as obedient children, not fastening yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Again, your moral blindness. To the former lusts in your moral blindness. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That's 1 Peter 1:14. When we read that verse, it's telling us that in our life, we should be producing holiness. We should be holy like God is holy. Amen? Are y'all nervous right now? Y'all nervous? We're talking about holy, like, oh, where's he going to go on this? He going to tell me I can't have chrome on my car and can't be wearing them name brand clothes. Listen, I've heard it all. We got to be holy. I'm going to tell you how to be holy. I'm going to tell you how tonight you know if you're saved or not. Paul told Timothy, he said, do the work of an evangelist. Timothy was a pastor. And the more I've studied that, the more I found out that evangelism doesn't need to be just done on the outside of the church. It needs to be done on the inside of the church as well. Would you agree with that? Raise your hand if you think every person in this room is going to heaven. Now, point out the person that you don't think is going. There's not one person in here that believes we're all going to make it. So who are you questionable about? Have you ever met somebody that professed they were a Christian, but they didn't possess anything to make you believe they were a Christian? They're not fooling God. I've had people fool me, but they don't fool God. God makes a distinction between the righteous and the wicked all throughout Scripture. We talk about worship, and how many people love to worship? Amen. How many people think that there's not, I'm going to leave you, I'm not going to have you point at nobody. The reason we like to worship is because we were actually created to worship. And we will find something to worship. There's people in this world that worship their children. There's people that worship their motorcycle, their car, their spouse. I mean, there's people that worship their boat. I mean, you will find something that you'll worship. I know people that worship guns. They know more about guns than they do the Bible. They're like, that right there, that's 3.5 pounds of pull pressure right there. I'm like, I don't care. Psalms is the worship book of the Bible. Would you agree with that? Man, if you're down and you want to worship, go to Psalms. I always say that if you don't have time to study, to you young preachers, go to Psalms. I mean, just look in there. There's all kinds of stuff in there you can preach. But I want to take you to the first chapter, and I heard a preacher say this, and I thought it was so good. He said, if Psalms is the worshiping book of the Bible, then Psalms chapter 1 has to be the gate into the worship book. And I want you to notice what it starts out with. It doesn't start out with praise ye the Lord. It doesn't start out with tambourines and cymbals and any of that. Let me tell you how it starts out. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This is one person coming in to the place of worship. How many people in here have ever worshiped beside a heathen? Raise your hand. How many of you did it tonight? Beside of a heathen, an unbeliever, a hoodlum. Anybody ever been in church with those? You ever been in church with somebody you knew was a heathen and they raised their hand? You just want to reach over and go, put that down. Because God makes a distinction between the righteous and the wicked. The Bible tells us not to ever be unequally yoked. Unequally yoked with what? Unbelievers. But it seems like the current culture is going the opposite. That we feel like that somehow it's our duty to somehow hang out and fellowship with sinners because it makes us more like Jesus. Right? Come on, you know that feeling. Right? God makes a distinction between the righteous and the wicked. And he said, what fellowship hath light with darkness? God makes a distinction. The issue is now the church has tried to become so culturally relevant that we've let down on truth because we're afraid to offend. And you can clap to that because that's true. To our visitors, this is Wednesday night. We're more friendly on Sunday. This is like... Because verse 4 says, the ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Let me say that again. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. God knows who's who. God knows who's righteous, and God knows who's wicked, right? God knows who belongs to him. He knows how to care for what belongs to him. The issue is he will punish the wicked and bless the righteous. Can you say amen? That's in your Bible. But somehow we feel like that we got to put ourselves on a plane on this certain level so that we don't seem too righteous or we don't seem too holy. Nobody wants to be called a holier than thou. But if you're not holy, I'm holier than thou. That's just the truth. If you're not righteous, I'm more righteous than you because I'm righteous. Right? So why do I got to try to make myself to this? Oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, barely making it. Not me. Maybe you. I'm washed in the blood, filled with his spirit. He chose me. I didn't choose him. He brought me out when I couldn't bring myself out. And I don't know about you, but I'm on my way to heaven by the blood of Jesus, and I'm righteous. Problem is, you're over there trying to put yourself on their level. They don't even like their level. You got to show them something different. Amen. I use this a lot. Any questions? They used to sing this song. I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. I'm doing my best to make it. You ain't going to make it with your very best. You better find something that's better than you. And I'm glad that I found something. I'm not doing my best to make it home. I got the best and he's taking me home. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:19, this is a Bible study. I don't know why I'm preaching. 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Why is that? Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We love the first part of that verse, but the last part, we let it fade away. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Say amen. God still hates sin. And you know what he does to sin? He punishes it. Well, preacher, God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. I hate to tell you, it's the sinner that will be cast into outer darkness. Don't try to separate them. Don't try to separate the sinner from the sin. Amen. You know what God loves? He loves the righteous. You know how much I know he loves them? Because he takes the sinner and makes them righteous so that they can get in his presence. Oh. Be careful. Be careful. You're going to make Jesus sound hateful. Jesus is love, people. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 6, 14-15. This is my introduction. I'll get to my sermon in a minute. No, let me go on down. Let me go to 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2, 4, and 7. Anybody read this? Does anybody read 2 Peter lately? For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them to chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now think about this. Think about this. If God spared not the angels, we don't have time to go through all that. But I'm going to tell you this. God got fed up with it. And let me tell you what happens when the wrath of God gets full. He pours it out. God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. He locked them up, and they're waiting for judgment. All right, next verse. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the what? Ungodly. Next verse. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? I'm going to tell you. Condemn them with an overthrow, making them an unto those that after should live ungodly. This is what gets me, Eddie. When I talk to people that are liberal and they don't want to hear the word of God, they say to me, well, I'm going to tell you right now, my God would never do that. The God that I serve would never cast anybody into hell. The God that I serve would never pour out a flood and kill everybody. Well, he wouldn't, because your God doesn't exist. But let me tell you about the real God that really does punish the evil and blesses the righteous. Let me tell you about the real God that really does exist, because the one you've made up is a figment of your imagination. But I'm going to tell you about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And if he did not spare his own son, what do you think he's going to do for you? Question time. Have you ever wondered, just you're by yourself and you're driving down the road and you hear me preaching, I'm preaching about your imputed righteousness and you're saved through Jesus, and then does this thought ever cross your mind, man, I hope when I get there I got enough? Oh, come on, you ever think about standing before God and you're like, man, anybody ever get there and you just wonder? I used to wonder it all the time. Some people say that if your good outweighs your bad, you're good. Y'all are in trouble. You get there and you wonder. You wonder. Because he's either going to say, enter in, thou good, and, or he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Right? That's what you're going to hear. So there's only two groups of people, saved and unsaved. Right? Why am I telling you this? Because we need to pray for the lost. Because I don't think we realize that the lost are really as lost as they are. We think they're just good people and they just need this. You know what? They're on their way to hell and God's going to punish and pour out his wrath on the ungodly. And you know what we do? We don't spend enough time in prayer for our lost family and our lost church folk. We don't spend enough time in prayer for that, because you know what we need? We need a revival that'll move, that'll touch, that'll purify, that'll convict, and that will convert. Amen. All right, let me go on. Turning the seasons. Okay, next verse. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. He delivered just Lot. God was fed up with it. He was vexed with it, right? Next, let's go to verse 9. You there? 2 Peter 2 and 9. I got it. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. If he can do all of that, and if he can punish the wicked, and he can do, you know what else he knows how to do? The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Now, let me say that again. God knows how to deliver you out of temptations. So when you're in that situation, he says, hey, you mind? Depart from iniquity. By the way, I'll deliver you. Do you hear that? He says, you know what? You don't need to be committing sin. Well, God, here's the problem. I'll deliver you out of it. I know how to get you out of temptation. The problem is we rely on us and we don't rely on him. When the enemy comes in like a flood, it's the Spirit of the Lord that raises up a standard against him. You cannot outsmart and outwit the devil. You need the Spirit of God moving in you so he can overcome through you. Are you with me? All right, we're going to talk about the righteous. I got so many verses. Deuteronomy 30 and 6. It's my key verse. Here's my sermon. Good introduction, right? The Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy... You know, the Bible commands us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. You know what the problem is? Your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. The Bible says, who can know it? He said, it's the Lord that tries the reins of the heart. You know who knows your heart? He does. And I have just the illustration for you today. Has anybody ever told you, they said, I want to give you my heart, no strings attached? I just now thought of that. You know what? Somebody's sitting there thinking, that's not what a real heart's shaped like. I don't know where they got that from. You know what the problem is with our heart? There's a lot of stuff attached to it. Can you see any of those? Is any of those you ever had to deal with? Be careful, I'm your dad. Can you find one, any of those in there you had to deal with? How many? Couple? Which one stands out to you? Rage? Where's it at? Where's that? Well, you really do know where it's at. Rage. Anybody else? Anybody else? Everybody's like, I'm not telling. Tracy made this post on me and talked about how I love people on my birthday. He's talking about just how I love people. And Ian said, until you get in a car. Let me help you out. Anybody here have road rage? Oh, now you know. Now you're going to admit it. See, I said rage, and I was like, not one person. What about that one too? Rage and drunkenness? Well, those don't mix. Did anybody preach on you about drunkenness? Did anybody tell you you need to quit drinking? You need to get rid of that. The problem is it's attached. Right? It's easy to tell somebody else how to get rid of their sin. How much time did you spend drinking? A lot. You developed a relationship with you, didn't you? Yeah. And it's easy for me to look over at you and say, you better quit drinking. Ah, or you're going to go to hell. Ah. It's easy for me to do that. And you got to put the ass in there because it makes it more effective. Don't it? So what happens is I tell you, get that out of your heart. You need to get rid of that. You're going to go to hell. Anybody ever tell you that? Yeah, I know. I've seen people witness like that. I've seen people witness to people like this. You need to be saved because you're of your father, the devil. That's real effective. The problem is it's attached, right? And what happens is when you try to pull it, you know what it pulls on? It pulls on your heart. Anybody ever had your heart pulled on? Yeah. How many people ever said, I'm going to quit? I'm not going to have any more wrath in my life, no more uncleanness. I'm not going to have any more discord. I'm not going to have any more jealousy. Woo! Jealousy. Anybody here in jelly? You know what the Bible says about jealousy? Cruel as the grave, ain't it? Jealous. Somebody just says hi to your spouse. I will break their eyes out of their face. It's confession time. You ever dealt with this and you tried to get rid of it? You know what the problem is when you try to get rid of it? You concentrate on it. Don't you? It's why fasting is so hard. If you're not fasting, you can get up and go to work, forget your lunch, and you feel good till about 1 o'clock. Call to fast, 8 a.m.
Oh, Lord, I don't even know if I'm going to make it through the day.
Yeah, it's true. Because you know where your mind's at? You're not thinking about what you're doing. You're like, oh, I can't wait till this is over. How long are we going again? What time we start? You got alarm set and everything else to get out of that thing. It's because it's on the forefront of your mind. Right? That's the problem with sin. When you try to get rid of it, it's all you can think about. Amen. I've had people come to me. They find out I'm a preacher. I'm going to quit drinking. I wouldn't. You can't say that. You're a preacher. I mean, it'll be good for your liver. But you're a preacher. You're a preacher. You can't say that. Yes, I can, man. Because if you quit drinking, you may be sober, but you're still a sober sinner. It's not about you quitting drinking. It's about you changing the fountain. Because when you get... I need some help. I need somebody with a steady hand. Not one of y'all. Y'all know who's going to heaven in here, but y'all can't cut scissors. Darren ain't a surgeon. He just puts them to sleep so they can do it. No way. He don't touch them. I need a mechanic. Y'all just don't want to stand in front of the crowd, do you? Come on up here. What is it? Oh, okay, gotcha. We should have practiced. Come up here. Just turn around here. Now check this out. If God circumcises your heart, you know where it has to wind up at? In his hand. Listen to this really, really close. When he starts, the heart isn't where it's supposed to be. It's not the finished product, but it's in his hand. Ah, this is good. This is good. Because you know what? Some people think they got to get their heart right and then give themselves to Jesus. Jesus says, come here. Come here. I'll take care of it. You just come here. Right? If you don't believe me, look at the wheel and the potter. He's making a vessel, and the Bible says, and this scripture used to blow my mind, it was marred in the potter's hand. How can a vessel be marred in the potter's hand? I'm going to tell you, because he's going to make it again and again and again and again and again. How many people in here can testify, I serve a God of more than one chance? He's done it again and again and again and again. So here's what happens. I'm trying to tell him to get rid of this. He can't get rid of this because this is who he is. But the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed. Oh, man, I got to be careful right here because I'll get doctrinal real fast. I don't know how you believe on this, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. With all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Let me see the next verse. What's the next verse say? Verse 7. You there? No? Did I mess you up? Hold on. Time out. Oh, yeah. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon who? Thine enemies, and on them that what? And which what? Touch not my, do my, know what? Let me tell you what. When you're in God's hands, he said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So let me serve notice to you. You can quit talking. Let God take care of it. Hold on, where are we at? Okay. I want to make sure I don't miss this verse. Okay, so here's what we got. You're in his hand, and what he's going to do, let me tell you what circumcision is without going into detail. It is a cutting away of flesh. See, here's the problem. You can't love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all this in it. You know why you can't love it with all this in it? Because it's contrary. No man can serve two masters. So these people run around and just love, kindness, be kind, be truthful. Somehow they think that being kind is like the ultimate virtue of being kind. I would rather have a grouchy preacher tell me the truth than a kind person tell me a lie. You, now here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to cut this out very strategically. How would you start? Like go. Yeah, cut them out. Yeah. Oh, sorry, there's a problem. You left a hole with nothing in it. All you did was separate what was attached and you left an empty place. Let me tell you what people do when they got empty spots in their heart. They fill it with something. I got a hole in my heart that can only be filled by you. Right? Right? And this is what we've been searching for, trying to find something, and we find something. But let me tell you what he does. You got to go on the inside of all this. There you go. Take off. Do this. Do this right. Let me tell you what God does. He don't just cut out the sin. He circumcises the heart. So what he does, man, this is, I feel like shout. If it was a shouting church, we'd shout right now. Because look, there's no holes here. Man, let me sing while you're doing this. I hear the chains falling, yeah. This is salvation. This is him. Oh, man. You're in his hand, and he's cutting away and reshaping your heart. He's not just removing the sin. He's remaking you. You got to hear this. You really do got to stir. Let me tell you right now. If you're going to put your life in anybody's hands, put it in Jesus' hands. Because I'm going to tell you, he is the Word of God. He didn't just speak the Word of God. He was the Word of God. When Jesus preached, the Word of God was speaking the Word of God. And the Word of God is quick, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide. I got my hand in the ultimate surgeon. Let it go. You're holding on to it too long. Thank you. No, we don't need those. Yeah. You're learning. He said, I'll give them one heart and one way. Let me tell you how you know you've been born again. You love Jesus with all of your heart. He becomes your everything. He's not your co-pilot. He's not your homeboy. He's not your crutch you lean on when you're in trouble. He becomes your absolute everything. You know why? Because he circumcises your heart. He removes the things that you could not remove. He takes away the things you could not take away. You ask me, how did I get to where I am? I'm going to tell you, I put my life in the hands of the Savior that knows how to do what he can do just for me. Come on. Jeremiah 32, verse 39. And I will give them what? And what? You know what the problem is? We try to give people the way before they get the heart. If you don't have the heart, you're just pretending if you walk in the way. He said, I'll give them one heart. The heart comes before the way. We're trying to get people to worship Jesus that ain't in love with Jesus. And you know what we do? We get mad when they don't respond to our songs on Sunday. And we're singing about the blood, and they're like, you know what we do? We get mad at them. That was a good song, and I don't know why they just stood there and act like they wouldn't know nothing. I don't know what their problem was. When they get the heart, they'll get the way. Don't get mad at them. Pray for them. Because there is no way you have the revelation of Jesus like I have the revelation of Jesus, you don't raise your hand to him. I'm going to say that again. There is no way you know that Jesus did for you like I know what he did for me, and you don't worship him. There just ain't no way. I will give them one heart, one way, that they may fear me for Man, this is prophetic. This is salvation, messianic prophecy. For the good of them and of their children after them. You want to hear eternal security scripture? Like, what's that? Let me show you. Verse 40. And I will make an covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear where? In their hearts, that they shall what? No, you don't get it, do you? How many people have been saved longer than 10 years? Raise your hand. 10 years. 15. 20. 25. 30. 35. 40. 45. 50. It's a standoff with Alice and Eddie. 55. 60. 55. 60. 55. 60. years. And he's still preaching God's word. Hold on. Who y'all clapping for? Him? Are y'all proud of him? Because he didn't do it. Now let me tell you again. He didn't do it. He said, I'll make a covenant with him. I'll put this in his heart. I'll circumcise his heart. Hey, love me with all your heart. By the way, I'll fix that for you. And I'll cut away all that stuff. And you'll fall in love with me because I first loved you. And 55 years later, let me tell you why he's still standing. Because he really had the surgeon do the surgery and he wasn't pretending. So are you saved? Are you saved? Let me do the work of the evangelist. It's not just preaching the good news. It's making sure that the good news is effective in your life. Because let me tell you how you know you're saved. You got this transformation that takes place in you. And you begin to like what he likes. And you begin to hate what he hates. Because you're being transformed into the image of his son. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about direction and affection. Where's your treasures? If they're not in Jesus, we're in trouble. But can you say right now, I love the Lord with all my heart? Can you say, give me Jesus above everything else in this world. Give me Jesus. Above riches, above fame, above health, above everything that I can have in this world. Give me Jesus. Can you say that? Can you say, I won't turn back. I won't turn back. 10 years, I'm still marching. Raise your hand, 10 years. 20 years, I'm still marching. Raise your hand. 30 years, I'm still marching. Raise your hand. I'm going to tell you why. Because he got a hold of me and he changed my heart. I think I'm done. If you're not sure that your heart is right, we want to pray with you. I think it's very important for a pastor to bring us to self-examination from time to time. I think it's why the Lord's Supper is so important. I think communion is so important because it brings you to that moment where you examine yourself. I don't want to make you feel good and laugh and give you cool illustrations and you still be lost. Because these things right here, all these works are works of the flesh. You know what they want to do, Johnny? They want to tear us down. We got a Savior that says, let me cut them away. Let me take care of them. If you're saved right now, you ought to stand to your feet. and be thankful that one day you put your life in His hands. Some churches say, we just need a confession from you and you'll be good. Some churches say, we just need you to have this one-time experience and you'll be okay. Some churches say, we need you to speak a certain way while we're listening, you'll be okay. Churches say a lot of stuff. Let me tell you what the Word of God says. Let me tell you how you know. Here's how you know you pass from death to life. That you love the brethren. How can you love God who you haven't seen if you can't love your brother who you have seen? And let me tell you how you do that. I seen wrath and hate in here. He cuts it out. This ain't just a renovation. This is a complete renewing. Let's sing. Let's sing. If you need prayer tonight, if you need prayer, would you step out, step up? Let us pray with you.